Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined today by Anthony Bongiorno.
Hi, everyone.
And JGL, Jennifer Grace Luttrell.
Hello.
Jen, how are you today?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. We're here to talk about something very important to me and you.
Super important.
Something super near and dear to all of our hearts.
We're talking about Applebee's.
Eating good in the neighborhood.
So, as you know, PCMC is all about celebrating low culture. And... I've said it before, I fucking love Applebee's. Jen, how do you feel about Applebee's?
Same. It was my favorite spot in high school.
Yeah, when I was out crushing puss and drinking alcohol, you know what I mean, being a cool dude, you and your Applebee's crew were fucking sharing riblets, am I right?
You bet.
But you were doing that at Applebee's.
Yeah.
I had my 16th birthday at Applebee's.
A sweet 16.
I meant to bring a picture and I forgot.
You know what?
Nothing sweeter.
It's you. I had a crown.
Well, we're really approaching this like really responsibly as journalists.
Yeah.
Because I just couldn't resist. I had to be in this episode because the person you're listening to right now is a former Applebee's neighborhood expert, former Applebee's employee.
How long did you work for Applebee's?
4 years.
And what were your titles?
I was an SA, which is server assistant, aka busboy.
Mm-hmm.
Then I did carside to go.
Yes.
Then I was a server. And then I was a neighborhood expert, which is a server that also is a trainer.
Very good.
So I was
and
a
how
staff
much did
trainer.
You make at your high at your highest?
At my highest. How much did I make like from Applebee's or in tips?
Because
we get paid tip wage.
Even as the expert?
As an expert, as an expert, I got paid $6 an hour.
Well, you know.
But tip wage at the time was like $4.
There was a class action lawsuit against Applebee's because of side work. And they were saying we shouldn't be paid tip wage if we're not always doing tip work. And I forget what year it was. I have it written down. The court sided with the people and Applebee's had to pay.
Yeah, I think I was out by that time. I worked there from 2004 to like 2008.
Okay. So I have here from the official Applebee's website their version of their history, and then we'll go into some other history. So bear with us. I'm about to take you on a historical journey.
You're about to talk about TJ?
I'm about to talk about TJ Palmer. In 1980, Bill and TJ Palmer opened TJ Applebee's RX for edibles and elixirs.
What a fun name, everyone. Can we just take a second?
It was a casual restaurant, right? I always say fast casual, but it's not technically fast casual. Fast casual is more like Chipotle.
Your Panera Bread.
Yeah. But it's casual because it's certainly not fine dining.
Well.
Although it's all blurry.
That's subjective.
The lines are blurry now because like fast food, all of it comes fucking frozen. So it's a lot of
Well, that's where I'm going to bring you the dirt.
All right.
About what goes on behind the scenes.
Well, anyway, TJ Applebee's RX for edibles and elixirs, their theme was that it was like an old drugstore.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a cat. It was. That's just their theme.
But it makes sense, though, because it was the Tiffany lamps and the local high school shit on the walls. And
right.
Stuff.
What's interesting, or what I found actually kind of disappointing, was that the name doesn't mean anything. They found the name in a phone book spelled with a Y at the end, and then they tried to use it, and then they found out that that name was trademarked. So they were like, oh, let's call it Peppers, or let's call it some other bullshit. And then they were like, let's just call it Applebee's and change it. But it's so interesting because I feel like there's so, even though they weren't thinking about it, there's so much in it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if I quite believe that, because I feel like Applebee's is just such like an all-American name.
Well, but I feel like we bring those connotations to it.
Well, so apples.
Because we think apple.
Like American is apple pie.
Apple pie, apples, their logo is an apple.
Yeah.
A, B, the beginning of the alphabet, we're like Applebee's. It's like very, very, all of those connotations are there, but supposedly it's not coming from anything.
But I feel like it fits so well with the aesthetic.
It does, but perhaps it also creates that aesthetic. Like, maybe one of the reasons... Like, the first time you heard the word Applebee's, did you think that that's what it was going to be? I don't know if I did.
No.
In 1983, the year I was born, the Palmers sell the Applebee concept to W.R. Grace and Company. And I think they got divorced. That's not on their official website. In 1985, Bill Palmer, principal owner of Cafe Ventures, becomes an Applebee's franchisee. He sells his company to a larger corporation, but then he becomes a franchisee and still runs an Applebee's. In 1986, the name is changed to just Applebee's Neighborhood Grill and Bar.
Notice not bar and grill.
Yes, yes.
Grill is emphasized, not bar.
Let's see. Abe Gustin and John Hamara of Kansas City opened their first Applebee's franchise restaurant in Kansas City. In 1988, Abe Gustin and John Hamara purchased the rights to Applebee's concept from W.R. Grace Company. 1989, Applebee's International Inc., AII, completes an initial public offering of common stock under the symbol APPB. There are 200, at this point in 1992, there are 250 Applebee's. 1994, there are more than 500 Applebee's. 1995, AII acquires Rio Bravo Cantinas, which is a chain of Mexican dining restaurants.
Which then became Chevy's.
Yeah. In 1996, there were 819 Applebee's. They grow very quickly during the 90s. And they actually hit a peak, and there's less now than there was.
Yeah, one time, we live on Staten Island. At one time when I was working there, it was like still hitting its peak, I think.
Yeah.
And we went from having like 2 to 5 on Staten Island. And I think now we're back down to 3, I think.
We're back down to 3, yeah. In 1997, there were 960. In 1998, Applebee's opens its 1,000th restaurant in Aurora, Colorado. In 1999, AII sells Rio Bravo restaurants to Chevy's, another fresh mix restaurant chain. This is a record system-wide sale of $2.35 billion. 2000, Applebee's introduces a new menu, and the number of restaurants climbs to 1,250. Also in 2000, Applebee's expands internationally and develops restaurants in Latin America and Middle East, which is... I knew that you could find McDonald's anywhere, but I had no idea like you could find an Applebee's in the Middle East.
That's wild.
In 2001, the number of restaurants climbs to 1,392. Julia Stewart joins IHOP Corporation as their chief executive officer. So one of the big things that happens is IHOP buys them at some point.
Mm-hmm. But they bought... So I was there when that happened.
Yeah.
They bought corporate, but most... If I remember correctly, most Applebee's are franchised. So it didn't actually affect us.
Yeah.
Very much. I mean,
well, like with any franchisee, depending on the franchise, you have some autonomy and some not.
Right. Yeah. We worked for, I think they're still around, Apple Metro, which was basically all the Applebee's in the New York City area were owned by Zane Tankel.
From what I understand, every Applebee's needs to have some signature things like riblets. But then there's a secondary menu that's like more local stuff that you're allowed to pick from.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then you're also encouraged to like go to the local high school and get shit to put on the walls and stuff. So it's like there's more autonomy than say like something like a Subway where you kind of have to do it exactly what they say it is. Let's see. 2002, Applebee's celebrates the opening of its 1500th restaurant. 2004, Applebee's makes a successful partnership by introducing its Weight Watchers menu.
Oh, I remember that very well.
Yes. 2005... Applebee's expands international growth to Brazil, Chile, Ecuador, and Jordan. 2007, Applebee's opens its first location in China. Applebee's is named one of 3 finalists for the Gartner High Performance Workplace Excellence Award. Applebee's Services Incorporated is purchased in November by IHOP. 2008, Serve Safe Alcohol awards Applebee's the best chain responsible beverage alcohol service training program. Interesting. 2009, Applebee's introduces neighborhood-inspired real burgers from across America. Participating in Applebee's locations thank active duty and retired military members with free lunch on Veterans Day during company's inaugural blah, blah, blah. 2010, Applebee's unbelievably great tasting and under 550 calories menu launches with 5 new better for you entrees. It opens its first restaurant in Singapore. 2010, Applebee's unveils its revitalization concept, which includes changes to the restaurant. So this is where this one ends. But 2010, that revitalization, which was an attempt to get more millennials to come, ends up failing. And they lose a lot of restaurants and do really badly for a while. And then eventually they give up on millennials and they go, fuck it, let's just go back to what we were. And they sort of went back to their old menu. Because remember there was that time where there was like a bougie menu where there was like brioche buns and blah, 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 blah. Yeah. And now they're back to like the traditional sampler that we all know. And
they, from the thing you sent me that I read, it said that their happy hour specials save them. Like and Dollaritas. And like every, I mean, and this wasn't a thing when I worked there, but now like any Applebee's you go to after 8 o'clock, all appetizers are really cheap.
Yeah. Well, the Dollaritas, so
they get like packed late.
You're right. And they end up being a loss leader because people will always buy food when they drink. But apparently the drinks are like real, like it's bottom shelf liquor and they're watered down.
It's like really watered down, but people don't care because it's a dollar. So like they'll keep buying more because like a dollar drink is a dollar drink.
Right. And they're full of sugar. So it's just like it keeps you keep like being like, okay, I, now I want food. Let's talk about love. So my first, I'm a vegetarian now, I'm better than you. But when I first went to Applebee's in like the 90s, right? When I was, I don't know, like 95, 96. I didn't go until I moved to Staten Island from Brooklyn in like, what was that, 95 or something?
97.
So that was, I guess, when I first went to Applebee's. My first like go-to Applebee's was the popcorn shrimp basket, which is like that fried shrimp that's like so delicioso, and then and fries. And that was like what I always got every time. What was, Jen, what was your first go-to Applebee's?
Probably chicken tenders. But then I remember my sister making me try buffalo wings. And that was before they had the boneless ones. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever tasted. So now that's my go-to. And now that they're boneless, oh, even better.
Life-changing.
Even better.
Right, you don't like bone.
I don't like bone. It freaks me out. You know what I don't like? Sorry if this is gross. I don't like veins. The bone doesn't freak me out. It's when I see or hit a vein that I'm just like absolutely disgusted.
Because you realize this is an animal.
Yeah.
I'm eating an animal. What did you eat at your sweet 16?
Probably buffalo wings. I haven't looked back. I've never looked back. It's been buffalo wings. Once they went boneless, I've never looked back. I will not order anything. Sometimes I used to order riblets. But no, I haven't looked back from buffalo wings.
So we went today for research.
Yeah.
So what did you order today?
Buffalo wings. Boneless buffalo wings with a side of fries. And let me tell you, my old boss thought this was genius. I always order the buffalo wings, boneless buffalo wings, with an extra side of buffalo so that I can dip.
Yeah, it's great.
And she dips her fries in that.
Yeah, it's life-changing.
Yeah, I changed someone's
life. It is. I don't mean to throw a...
And I can dip my fries in it.
I don't mean to throw a wrench into this, but I don't think they have great buffalo sauce. I think it's too vinegary. I prefer Hooters buffalo wings. Jen,
you're wrong. I mean,
it's just an objective fact. I mean,
all buffalo wings are beautiful in their own way, but
love wins.
Yeah, no. Unless it's like a, you know, like a pub. Unless it's like a real non-chain, those are probably better. But chain-wise, Applebee's hands down.
Anthony, what was your go-to? Your original go-to Applebee's item?
Let me tell you, it's a tale of two samplers.
Oh, please.
Is what I like to talk about.
Also the name of your autobiography.
My autobiography. I met my husband at Applebee's. So when I first started working there, they had just introduced, this was 2004, they had just introduced boneless wings. Ooh. And those were a game changer. So much so that they changed the appetizer sampler. So when I first started working there, there was the old sampler, which was an off-menu item that people would request vehemently, and then the new sampler, which is still the sampler of today.
Oh, really?
The old sampler was riblets, because that was their original staple.
Right.
It was riblets, nachos, mozzarella sticks, and quesadillas. They replaced it with the new sampler, which is boneless wings, spin dip, mozzarella sticks, quesadillas.
See, I always think of that as the
second. That was the new sampler. So if you say, can I have an old sampler, they won't know what you're talking about anymore. But yeah, it was the nachos, the riblets, and the other two.
Do you ever
riblets
take...
were such a thing.
Yeah, that was a
I
big
remember
thing for
every
them.
Summer, it was the all-you-can-eat riblets, and the commercial was riblets, riblets, riblets.
How many heart attacks did you see riblets. People have?
Those, you know what's so disgusting is that riblets, like cleaning dishes and picking up eaten riblets, it's just like little discs of bone. They're so disgusting. But I always got the sampler, to answer your question. Even before I worked there, my go-to meal was the sampler because I was a fat kid and I wanted the whole sampler to myself.
I love a sampler too. I
with
love
a raspberry iced tea, baby.
I'm going to take, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to take some of that spinach dip. I'm going to put that on top of my quesadilla.
Oh, I do that too.
I used to like the spinach dip too. I forgot about it. But I think I'm lactose intolerant and I think I just, well, for, I didn't know, but I think I also just ignored it for a while. And I think that's why I don't get it anymore. I think it just made me sick for a while. I forgot all about it, but I used to love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my favorite spinach and artichoke dip.
I feel like they invented spinach and artichoke dip.
But I feel like they also invented
boneless wings, in fairness, to Applebee's.
Whoa.
Because I feel like a lot of other places have boneless wings now.
Do they have boned wings at all anymore?
Yeah, yeah.
They do?
And, yeah, but I mean, boneless wings are just chicken nuggies. With buffalo sauce. That's all they are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. So when I go now, well, I just changed recently because now they have Impossible Burger, so I get like Impossible Burger. But I'm a big fan. They had where we are on Staten Island. They're not all the same. One of our Applebee's has these breadsticks that are a lot like the breadsticks you get from Olive Garden. And it comes with like an Alfredo dipping sauce. And that's an appetizer. But I get that bad boy just for dinner. Just five fucking loaves of bread just right in my fucking gillet. And then similar but different is they, and I had this today, they have the big pretzel sticks.
Oh, the pretzels are good.
That come with
that beer cheese is good.
Come with beer cheese. Who put beer and cheese together? Genius.
So good.
And honey mustard.
Yeah, so good. Homo.
Yeah. Is that what they call that?
That's
homo?
What I call it. that's all I call it. Let's talk about some old menu items.
Let's do it.
Like, do you remember the fried chicken salad?
No.
It was like chicken tenders, eggs, bacon.
Oh, okay.
Honey mustard dressing. It was a good one.
I feel like the Asian chicken salad has been a mainstay.
Okay, do you mean the unfortunately named Oriental chicken salad, which they still haven't changed the name of?
They still haven't, really?
I don't think they have the roll-up anymore, but I used to like the roll-up, too.
And it used to come with teriyaki sauce on the side that they don't have anymore.
It was so good.
Can I tell you that that's like one of the myths of Applebee's?
Please tell me.
It was in that article that you sent me that Applebee's notoriously never shares its recipes.
Yeah.
So we always used to like, there was like a myth. It was like an urban legend of like what the Oriental dressing was made of. Because when I tell you that Oriental dressing was like crack.
Yeah.
People would order, they'd come in and they'd be like, I want an Oriental chicken salad. I want like 7 cups of that dressing on the side. And it's called Oriental vinaigrette dressing. And it is white. Yeah. It is white, thick, creamy inconsistency. It's jizzy. It's very, I didn't want to say it, but it's very jizzy.
It's jizz with sugar.
And it comes prepackaged because one of the side works was dressings where you had to put the dressings in the little pours and then you'd have to cut open the container and scrape out the remaining dressings. Yeah. So you got every last drop. And for as long as I worked there, everybody was convinced that the Oriental dressing was chicken fat, sugar, and vinegar.
That could be whipped together. That very much
but
could be it.
But there was no, that you can never prove that because there's no ingredients listed on the thing.
It's wild.
But it's definitely like some kind of fat that's been whipped.
Yeah. Well, we
delicious. Delicious fat.
We read this article. I got a lot of information from an article I read from a website called Mashed. Not Mashable. Mashed. Which I don't
know. Garlicmashed.com.
It was called Mashed.com. It was delicious. And I learned a lot of stuff from there. So tell us, before we get to some of the down and dirty, let's talk about dessert menus. The Blondie.
Rest in peace. Is she back?
Well, she's back, but she doesn't have the best part. I think the best part, he ate it. Like the inside of the apple pie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the streusel. The best part. Is that what it's called?
Oh, wait. Are you talking about like, is it like apple-y crumbles?
Yeah, it's the apple. No, it's the apple.
Oh,
it's the apple. But
I don't
like,
remember there being apple in there.
There was apple. There was
Does
apple
Does it still come with the pour over butterscotch sauce?
No, then it's different.
Now it comes with like cinnamon. What is it? It on the skillet, it's a blondie. Then there, which
scoop of ice cream.
A scoop of vanilla ice cream. Some butterscotch or caramel. And pecans. Yeah, it's
to have the apple.
It used to be apple. Yeah, it was different in consistency. I remember it used to have walnuts over it.
Yeah.
Chopped walnuts. Yeah. And it used to come with a very jizzy white
yeah.
sauce that you would pour over and it would bubble on the skillet.
Right.
Do you know how many people injured themselves on those skillets when I worked there?
Because they would lick it.
One time a baby this is horrible, I'm laughing because I'm nervous. A baby like just reached over and put its whole hand on the skillet and had to go to the emergency room. Like, those skillets are really dangerous.
And there's no need for those skillets other than like it's just an aesthetic.
Well, it's because that's the whole thing is like they were known for their sizzling fajitas, so that when they would walk by you with it, people would be like, "What's that? What's that?"
Yeah. So why not put a fucking blondie on it?
I don't remember what it was called, but it was like chocolate death or like something. It was old.
The triple chocolate meltdown.
No, I think it was before that. The triple chocolate meltdown, I think, replaced it. But my best friend. Like, we were so upset when it was gone, and we just couldn't be consoled. And I forget what it was called. It was something like Chocolate Death or like Devil's Delight.
Devil's Delight. Ooh, my goodness.
Do you want to live deliciously?
It was so good. It was probably as good as the Triple Chocolate Meltdown, but it was in a different shape, and we didn't want it.
The Blue Ribbon Brownie was always my favorite, and we used to order it Brownie No Mike.
Which means
don't microwave it because it would come frozen.
Yeah.
And then the ice cream wouldn't melt and it would just be like you just sit and eat a delicious frozen brownie with ice, two scoops of ice cream.
But I love the combination of the ice cream with the hot.
Well,
but
by the way, blonde, you're a plebe.
Okay. So you were saying that, like, did Applebee's invent the boneless wing? Probably not, but they certainly popularized it. I feel like I never knew a blondie before Applebee's. I remember the first time I heard blondie, I was like, I didn't even get it. I was like, what the fuck is that? And I was like, oh, it's... And, just like I love white chocolate more than regular chocolate, like, to me, a blondie is so far superior to a brownie.
Oh, yeah, so good.
Blondies are just fucking perfect.
Yeah, they're so good. She went away for a while. I guess she's back.
You know what the trick is? You share it and then you're not fat. It's healthy because two people are eating it, right, Jen?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
The bread pudding's also good.
I've never had that. I don't believe.
I don't know if they still have it. It was it was bread pudding with ice cream.
So what, in your time working there, when you worked there, did you eat a lot of it?
Yeah, I eat there all the time. I eat there every shift.
What is there anything that you really love that they don't have anymore?
The Oriental roll-up I really, really loved, and they don't have anymore.
I don't remember that. What was it?
It was the Oriental salad in a wrap with fries, and like it used to come with this delicious stir-fry dipping sauce on the side.
I think you can still ask for it. I feel like I've still asked for it.
They still have
it? The roll-up?
Because I feel like but the sauce they don't carry anymore. Because I asked for that sauce, and they were like, no. Oh, they had a really good warm spinach and shrimp salad that was really good with like a bacon dressing.
Ooh, yeah. They did a lot of good things with shrimp.
They had while I was there, they had that menu from that guy from the Food Network. That's where the quesadilla.
Bobby Flay?
No. What's his name?
John Oliver?
No, that's Oliver. A comedian. Yes. I don't know. It's where the quesadilla burger came from.
Jamie Oliver?
No. Wasn't him.
Giada De Laurentiis.
So, no, it was a guy. He's a guy. I don't know. But he had a special menu that was like a promotional, but then a couple of them were so popular that they made it to the regular menu, and one of them was the quesadilla burger.
In your time working there, did you ever see anything just completely fail, flop, just go, like they brought it out and it was just like a rant from day one?
Yeah. I think one, there was like a chicken parmesan dish that was just like nobody liked.
That was a no-go?
It's Madeira, hard to do Madeira, Italian. Madeira steak tips, nobody liked.
Yeah.
A couple things. Yeah, every month they would do a promotional with like a few new menu items. And then it would go in the insert of the menu. And the cool thing of working, like whenever we would do a rollout with new items, we would all get together and have a meeting and taste them.
Yum.
And that was always fun. But yeah, a few things every month would like flop and then they would disappear forever. They did like a whole Italian thing once, and like a bunch of them were gross, and nobody ordered them again.
It's hard to do that in New York.
It was like chicken parm and like a bunch of like fake Italian things.
Mm-hmm. When I worked at Perkins, they made a big deal about they had po' boys, and boy did that flop terribly.
Perkins, I just feel like can't get dinner off the ground.
Perkins is like. Yeah, it's for older people. Like, dinner rush would be at, like, 4:30. when I worked there. By 7, it's like, you're done. You've made your money for the night.
Yeah, Applebee's used to be really busy. I feel like it's not. Every time I go to an Applebee's now, I feel like it's not at its heyday anymore.
Well, what's interesting is because as I was like reading a little bit about it today, I was seeing all these things about why does Applebee's suck? Applebee's is the worst. And it's like, it's so interesting to me.
It became a joke.
Yeah, it's like people love to dunk on it, but it's like, I'm not saying that it's high cuisine, but I'm saying that like it's salt, fat, and sugar, and that's always good. But like to people who are, I don't know, it just feels like, I don't know, it's like, yeah, such, I feel like an, it's easy been in movies target. And
TV is like a joke, like, oh, we go to Applebee's. But I feel like when I worked there and prior to that, like, it was a Cheesecake Factory. Like, we used to go on like an hour wait. Like, now you don't, it just doesn't do that anymore.
Right. It's, I mean, I think it's still, the market's okay.
Changed, I guess.
Yeah.
People's tastes have changed. People want to eat healthier. I don't know. Things change.
I think it still does okay. I don't see any that are like really failures.
No, but when's the last time you went into an Applebee's and like there was a wait? We're told like it's a 45-minute wait.
No,
I mean, never. That used to be every single weekend.
Never, ever. No. No, not anymore. You're right. No, it had its heyday, but I feel like it just isn't cool. But it's like, why would it have to be cool? It's so it's interesting.
Millennials. We're the problem.
See, the reason I feel like this fits with our podcast is because I do think dining like this is part of pop culture.
It is totally.
I mean, I think the movie Waiting is about Applebee's.
I think he said the guy who wrote it worked at like a TJ Bentley's or TJ Fridays or something.
Yeah,
but it's similar. I mean, they're all
it's the same shit.
Yeah, they're all the same. Or and like Bennigan's or something.
Yeah. But I in that category, I always thought Applebee's was better. I prefer Applebee's to Perkins and Denny's and you know, IHOP and shit like that.
Yeah, me too. I still think that. I mean, I still eat there regularly.
It's fucking they still delicious. Have good food.
It's not as cheap as it used to be,
right?
But no, I mean, nothing.
It's still pretty cheap, though.
It's not terrible, especially if you go for like happy hour. Like a lot of times, we'll go and we'll just get a bunch of appetizers and split them. And
let's talk about the bar, because I'm sure you've seen some sad things at that
bar. Oh boy, have I! Let's also talk about. We can put a pin in this for now, but I do want to come back to karaoke night, where you first found your voice.
Oh, thank you. Well, let me tell you, this is a side story. There's an Indian restaurant here in Staten Island, and me and Jen went there for dinner, and they've got like literally a tiny bar with like two things, and it's like, it's just like they have a bar because it's a restaurant, but it's like no one sits at that bar.
Right.
There was a guy sitting there talking endlessly.
Our like local, well, we have three local, four. Four. There's one in the mall.
Yeah, there's four now. One just opened. The fourth one just opened.
Yeah. But yeah, that one was closed for a while because they were redoing just the whole mini mall. And yeah.
The guy, we heard the guy say, yeah, I used to go to the Applebee's and hang out, but that closed. So now I'm here.
We had regulars. We were just
sitting there alone in an Indian restaurant drinking.
Yeah, we had a lot of regulars that would hang out at the bar. Like a lot.
And you were across the street from a high school.
We were across the street from a high school, so teachers would come for happy hour, and it's also the high school we went to, so I would also see teachers I had getting drunk at the bar.
Like Friday, Applebee's.
We were right next to, I mean, it really did, I think, achieve its goal of being the neighborhood place, because we were right next to the post office, and the mailmen and women would come in all the time.
Yeah.
And we had a few very sad barflies that would hang out with us until like 2:30 in the morning, when we'd have to be like, you need to go. Like, we'd try to hint, we'd try to turn the lights on, and they just would not get the hint, like we needed them out to close.
It's sad because it's a weird atmosphere. What time did they start serving alcohol?
All day.
But didn't you used to, like, in the morning they didn't, and people would argue with you?
On Sundays, it's still a New York law that on Sunday, the day of the Lord, you cannot serve alcohol till afternoon.
So
we would open at 11, and for the first hour on Sunday, you couldn't serve. So if somebody wanted a mimosa, they couldn't have one.
And how would that go?
Sometimes people get really mad. And then very often the bartender would just make it for them and then be like, make sure you physically couldn't ring it in until 12. So they'd say like, I'm going to make it for them, but make sure you ring it in right at 12 so that we can charge them for
right.
it. Yeah, but other than that, the bar was serving all day.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, there weren't a ton of people in there. I mean, there was always somebody at the bar, honestly.
Yeah.
Even during the day.
Yeah. Was it?
Some people just like to eat at the bar too.
Was there ever, since you worked there, was there ever a time like on a Saturday night or Friday night where there were young people at the bar? Was it ever like a cool place where people would go get fucked?
during sports, big sports events.
Now, what is a sport?
Well, no, yeah, like during NBA championships, during World Series, big football game on Sunday. Every Sunday we wore jerseys.
Oh, you had to wear jerseys?
Football season, yeah.
So how did you pick your jersey? The color you like the most?
Yeah, I think it was. I think I had a Jets jersey that I like stole from a friend. Sure. I don't even. Yeah, it just looked nice on me. But yeah, that they put in a lot of TVs, like flat screen TVs, at a certain point, and then there were a lot of people who'd come in, like younger people. But it was never like the hippest place for young people.
And now it's like, I don't know, it's like Facebook. It's like easy to dunk on. It's like, huh, go to like, oh, you go to Applebee's? It's like, yeah, it's fucking delicious. Like, why would I not go to Applebee's? It's so funny because like those are the first people to like, when they travel, they go to all those places in another country. Like, do you know in McDonald's they have like shrimp burgers? And it's like, well, fucking, why is it cool there and not here?
I love a chain restaurant.
Of course you do. It's good. Look, it's not hard to make food delicious. Like, obviously, I believe in fine dining. Obviously, fine dining is amazing. I've done it maybe twice in my life. But, you know, you've never gone to an Applebee's and been, like, really disappointed, have you?
No.
And I feel like those places are all about the appetizers. Entrees is,
that's
like,
how they upsell you.
Yeah, the entrees are like, you know, like, it's okay, a burger, whatever. I always like their fries, though. Applebee's has good fries, I think.
It's because of
the salt and the pepper.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's salt, pepper, and garlic powder.
We're learning all the big
secrets.
That's
what it is. The Applebee's police are going to knock my door down.
You're not supposed to give out the recipes. Oh, garlic.
Let's talk about Zany, whatever his fucking name is.
He was famously mocked on The Daily Show.
Yeah, what was he? So what I read about him on that article from Mashed was he was not very well liked.
No.
What did The Daily Show do about him?
He was one of the people who came out very early on saying, like, if you make me, I think it was like, if you make me offer benefits, I'm just going to cut hours.
He was very anti-Obamacare.
Yeah, yeah.
Hugely anti-Obamacare.
Yes. I met him many times.
You did, really?
Yeah. He would come in. He's not like the Applebee's owner. He's just the owner of the franchise in New York City. So it's like all the ones in Staten Island, all the ones in Brooklyn, the one in Times Square. And he used to also own the Chevys. We used to do, when Chevys was around, we used to do food swaps with them. Sometimes,
oh, really?
Like, we'd send them a bunch of stuff and they'd send us a bunch of stuff.
Zane Tanko, CEO of Applebee's NYC area franchise.
Okay.
Metro.
Apple Metro, yeah. And then I think it was John Stewart at the time said that he has a Star Wars villain sounding name, Zane Tankel.
Yeah, he does. He does.
Yeah, because I remember everybody being like, oh my God, did you see they made fun of Zane on The Daily Show?
That's hilarious. He deserved it. Was he nice?
He's a nice guy. I mean, I never really got to know him very well.
You know, this is a good thing. Did you know that in 2008, they went cage-free eggs?
Like free-range pigs?
Right.
Whatever that is.
Yeah.
Well, do all Applebee's serve breakfast now? Because that used to only be at select locations.
I don't know. I don't think I've ever gone to Applebee's for breakfast.
I think my grandma and my aunt did, and they hated it. But they went when it first started, so I don't know.
Yeah. With a thing like that, I'd rather just go to a diner. Because, like, you're going to get eggs anyway, right? So it's like...
Yeah.
I mean, Perkins was good for breakfast, but again, it's because it wasn't that expensive, and they basically would give you what a diner would give you. You know what I mean? They weren't trying to
I remember for a while, only the Times Square location did breakfast just because it was so busy. But now I think that's the biggest one.
Isn't it like four floors or something like
it's
that?
It's big. Yeah, it's very big. I think a lot of them offer breakfast now, which I can't imagine is good.
As of right now, there are 1,578 locations.
Still a lot.
That's still a lot. That's still pretty good.
Yeah. Have you? Oh, so at your Sweet 16, did they sing you the Applebee's birthday song?
Probably. I was trying to find the picture.
The somebody told us that it's your birthday.
Yeah. Probably, yeah.
How many times did you sing that song?
I was just going to say, I worked there for 4 years. I must have sung it at least three times a shift.
Oh, really?
Yeah, always.
Did you ever know, like, there was some shitty kid, it wasn't their birthday?
Sometimes servers, like, if it was a group of teenagers, sometimes, like, after a high school play or a high school game, like, we get slammed, like, a ton of teenagers coming in, and then some of the servers would be like, oh, it's your birthday? Let me see your ID. Oh, no ID? Oh, sorry, we can't do it.
Nice. Nice.
Because you know that they would just like mess with each other and say, it's his birthday.
Right.
And then they'd always get really mad when they found out, like, you have to pay for that dessert. That's not free. It's not a free dessert.
Yeah, it's not free. You get the free song.
You get the free scoop of ice cream. If you order anything else, you're getting charged.
Right. When I worked at Perkins, I would work overnights. And, you know, when the old people would be gone by 8 p.m., it was basically...
when they were long in bed. Yeah. Long dead.
It was a desert until, like, 1 o'clock. And then, like, you'd get, like, 20 18-year-olds. They all want Coke and a chicken finger melt. 20 separate checks, please.
And they're like, I have $5, so I'm going to get multiple items.
Right.
There was always a kid who got, and I experienced this when I was in high school as well. There's always a kid who got shafted because the other kids didn't put in enough money.
Yeah.
And then that, like, one kid was left over who would, like, have to pay the rest of the bill and have to, like, call their dad or mom to come bring the money. Was that you, Jen?
Oh, no. I wasn't the kid that didn't have the money. I was the kid that always
that
had
got shafted.
Extra money. Yeah.
It's horrible. So there'd always be one kid that ended up having to pay like $80 for chicken fingers.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, Jen. Because the other kids would like skip out and be like, here's $10 and run out.
That's still me. Whenever someone like needs to send me money, I'm like, oh, I have it all. And they're like, why? And it's like, because no one wants to put up the money for lunch, but everyone wants to order lunch.
Right.
So I have every kind of like Venmo or whatever.
I take whatever you got.
People just send me however they have it.
Would you like to pay in Canadian?
Right. Because no one also wants to come to your system. No one wants to download Zelle or PayPal. Like, they want their own system. And they want you to adapt to it.
So you're a small business at this point.
Right. Yeah. No, it's me.
Back in the day, there was a chain of drugstores called Genovese, kind of like Rite Aid or CVS. And there was one right next to Applebee's. And
you worked there.
Yeah, and I worked there. And we, every night, like after, like on a weekend, like on Friday night, if you were working, you'd go to the Bees. Mm-hmm. And what was the name of the woman? Marianne. I worked with an older woman named Marianne, who was like funny old lady. And she'd be like, you going to Bees, Mike? We're going to Bees.
Oh, remember? I remember her.
Yeah.
You like weirdly hung out with her.
Yeah. We chilled. We were cool. No, she was funny. She was like, I guess in her 50s or 60s. And
was she Genovese or Zany Brainy?
Genovese. She whenever she had to, like, if she was put on like the side of the store where the condos are, she'd be like, Mike, can you do this for me? I can't do it. I don't know. I can't do it. Let's go to the Bees.
Let's go to the Bees. The Bees.
Yeah, I remember like in 2007, Dane Cook, who had a joke where he's like, he talks about like when your girlfriend's period is late and then she calls you and you're like, it's the worst week of your life. And then she calls you and she's like, I got it. And you're like, yeah, let's go to Applebee's. And that was like the big punchline. And it
maybe
was like,
that's where this all started.
Dane Cook ruined it.
He single-handedly took down Applebee's as an institution.
Yeah. And he's in waiting. So
is he?
Yeah, he's one of the cooks.
Oh, that's right. Oh my God, I forgot about that.
I mean, I'm sure it's problematic now.
Oh, very. I watched it recently. It's very problematic. Very problematic.
Well, like, isn't like
the. But it's very true to life.
Ryan Reynolds' struggle is to not fucking underage.
Yeah, I know. And what about that line?
That's
where
his struggle.
The line where he's like, "How old are you?" And she's like, "I turn 18 next week." And then he goes, "So I don't have much time." So problematic.
That's his fucking whole arc in that movie. And then he doesn't fuck her. Yeah. And we're meant to be like, what a hero.
Yeah. Wow, he's shown growth.
What a fucking hero.
But a lot of that movie was really like true to.
Yeah. But it's funny because it's so obviously trying to be like Clerks, which is itself very problematic.
Oh my God, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I found it. Oh, it took me forever. This is a terrible photo, but.
You know we're on a podcast, right?
Let me see.
There's a better one.
Was this in Newdorp?
Yeah.
I may have been working that night. What year was this?
1968?
69?
You're old.
I may very well have been your server.
Let me see. Oh, boy.
That's adorable.
They got me. Lego fake.
These are some teenage faces right here.
Do you know
how
many proposals we had at Applebee's, by the way?
Please tell me.
A lot more than you would think, which the appropriate number is zero.
Wow, it's like fireworks at Disney.
Unless it's where you went on your first date or something cute. But
tell me about the proposals.
There were just a lot.
But were they like planned? Like, we're gonna go to Applebee's and this is what we're gonna do. Would you ever be part of it? Like, hey, bring over the fucking.
Yeah, somebody, not me, but I, one of my coworkers, like, brought it out on like a tray, like the ring, like it was a whole thing.
Wow.
We also saw, oh my God, so much good stuff happened there.
Tell us.
One time, a lot of cheaters were caught at our Applebee's. One time during
bringing the side bitch to Applebee's?
Yeah, yes. One time during a lunch shift. So there's two stories that come to mind, actually, right off the top of my head. Ooh. One time during a lunch shift, a guy and a girl were together eating lunch, and then another woman just like walked in, marched over to the table, and sat down next to the girl, and was like, hey, what's up? This is my husband. And then the girl who was on the date, who was not the wife, flipped the table up to, because she was in a booth, to jump out and run away.
Sure.
And then he ran after the girl, the wife ran after her, then he ran after both of them. And then there was like a mess everywhere because the table was flipped. It was crazy. And then like 20 minutes later, the guy comes in and sits at the bar and he was like, just give me a shot of anything you got. And the bartender was like, it's on me. Don't worry about it. Wow. And then another night, it was like a busy Friday or Saturday. There was a woman and her mother eating dinner, and then like her fiance and another girl came in and were sat right next to them at the next table. And it turned into like a whole scene and they all walked out.
Oh, shit.
It was wild.
Talk about the neighborhood, man. This is...
Listen, it was the neighborhood grill and bar.
So you wanted to talk about karaoke. Let's talk about karaoke.
Well, because this is where our stories intersect. And it was every... At the time, it was every Thursday or something. And then you started coming in every week and sang various ballads. And at one point, you did a rousing rendition of Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Yes.
Where you took a sugar packet and opened it up and poured it over your head.
Yeah.
And people were like, this guy's nuts. And I was like, that's my brother.
Yeah.
And then there was also this guy, I don't remember his name. I won't say it to protect the innocent.
Yeah.
But this guy came in every week, and this went on for years, to sing "Run Around Sue" every single week.
That's a karaoke great.
Whoa! Every week.
I remember I did a lot of karaoke at Houlihan's as well.
Why were you drawn to the Applebee's karaoke, Mike? To turn it around back to you.
Well, when you're in your early 20s. It's like you want to be out all the time, right? It's the middle of the week, probably. Like, it's something to do. You can have a few drinks. It's a way to show off, blow off steam. You know what I mean? Now I would not do it, not out of embarrassment, but just out of like, oh, it's too much bother. You know what I mean? But at the time, I was like, yeah, let's do it. It's fun.
Yeah.
I did Houlihan's a lot. And Houlihan's was an older crowd. By the way, Houlihan's is...
you talk about like when you ran the circuit. You're like, you know, Houlihan's used to have a great Tuesday night.
Oh my God, let me tell you how old I am. At this point, smoking indoors was still allowed in New Jersey. And I got up and crooned Everybody Loves Somebody Sometime by Dean Martin. And then I was a bunch of like cougars at the bar. And I was like, does anyone have a cigarette for me? And then some like...
They were definitely tripping over each other to hand you a cigarette.
Yeah, some woman came and gave me a lit cigarette. And I fucking...
That's amazing.
Smoked it like Dino. Yeah. See, that one... See, but Everybody Loves Somebody. I wouldn't have gone at Applebee's. Applebee's had to...
Applebee's was more of a party atmosphere.
It was a tougher room. Yeah, you had to keep the energy up.
Yeah.
You know where else they have really good karaoke? This is a regional reference. Rab's Country Lanes.
Oh my God. Here. You worked there too.
Yeah, I did work there. Yeah. But I don't think I ever did karaoke while I worked there.
Karaoke in itself, we could do an episode on that. What a sad art form.
I did have the lowest point in my life when I worked at Rab's Country Lanes, because there was they had party rooms, and I had to clean out a party room to get it prepared for a party. And sometimes they had like stuff in there for parties, like cake stuff and stuff, and they had like that stuff that you write like happy birthday on a cake, like that blue stuff. So I squoze it into my mouth and then I looked and caught myself in the mirror and I saw me
doing
a
man
it.
You didn't recognize,
and I said, who have you become? How far have you fallen? That's also the job where I fell asleep and the boss was like, you can't sleep while you're working.
He had to wake you up to tell you can't sleep here.
Stop sleeping.
You can't
on the
sleep
job.
Here, Mike. Oh my God.
Oh boy.
Working in a bowling alley, that must have been...
That was also where rough. I was very, very rude to Method Man.
I remember that. Poor Method Man was just there with his kids trying to show them a good time.
For somebody who has like this a somewhat tough persona, he was like the nicest
gentleman.
So
why were you rude to him?
His kid was flipping out. His kid, like, you know, they give you pizza and then, like, you know, they give you 900 of those tiny napkins. So the kid's like throwing the napkins on the floor. And I, my job was to pick that shit up. And I was like, can you watch your kid? Like, I literally was like, can you watch it? Like, you're watching your kid throw shit on the ground. And he was like, I'm so sorry. And then, but it's one of those things where he looks like a normal guy, but then you realize those are perfect shoes. That's a $10,000 watch. Like, oh my God. And then you look, it's like, that's Method Man. And I was just rude to him and he was so nice to me. Yeah, that was.
Well, I'm sure he listens to the pod, so.
Yeah.
So Method Man.
Yeah.
Mike, sorry.
I'm so sorry. You're welcome on anytime.
And he probably loves Applebee's. Who? Probably takes his kids out.
Does
all
he
time.
Have red blood? Then he fucking loves Applebee's. Fuck, who doesn't love Applebee's?
Oh, you know what I miss? The spinach and artichoke pizza. What? Remember that?
I don't remember that at all.
I never got it.
Yeah, it was one tortilla. Spread some spinach dip on it and some diced tomatoes, and they baked it for a little while.
Yeah. That sounds
a little
delicious.
Thin crust pizza with spinach dip.
So tell me some gross things about the kitchen and the preparation of the food. Apparently,
honestly,
there's a lot of plastic.
You know,
that.
Yeah, but.
Which, by the way, I think is par for the course of this type of thing. I found plastic in my burger recently at Red Robin, which, by the way, I love Red Robin too. That'll be another episode.
Yeah.
I love Red Robin.
Look, I mean, it's not great, but. I mean, a lot of things come prepacked. I mean, they come prepackaged and then they're microwaved, but they're prepped in the morning, right? It's not like they come shipped in a package. Like, they prep them in the morning and then they stay throughout the whole day in a fridge and then they microwave, like, the broccoli and the mashed potatoes and stuff. And then,
but do they keep it
put
in the
them
bag?
On the plate? They put the mashed potatoes on the plate in the bag, at least when I was there. And then the person who's called the expo, who prepared the plates and sent them out, would take the mashed potatoes out of the bag, wipe the plate clean.
And this is
apparently
true.
It's very bad. Now we know that there are microplastics in everything when we do that. And that we're
constantly.
Eating plastic when
well, if you
warm
have a Keurig,
plastic.
Which I drink from a Keurig every day, the plastic seeps out of the Keurig cup too.
A what?
Keurig?
Keurig. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't know what you meant because you pronounced
it
stupidly.
Are you fucking with me right now?
A Keurig. No, yeah. A hot plastic is not great.
No, it's not. You're not supposed to be eating that. But
no, I was going to say, in all fairness, though, like, there was nothing that I saw that really grossed me out. Like, it wasn't... People, are like, they think, like, oh, it's so disgusting. And, like, if things fell on the floor, we would throw them
there
out.
There are health inspectors.
Yeah. Like, and we always passed, at least my location. Yeah. Like, and there was never... I can't think of any real situations where, like, anybody would say, like, oh, I hate this table, I'm going to spit in their food. Like, that just... I never saw anything like that. Maybe because just... People are more civilized than we think.
I saw an attempt at that, and like
I feel like other people would
like
be like,
a
"Don't
hero,
do that."
Like a hero, don't ruin the story for me. Like a hero, I stopped it, and I was like, "I am not allowing you to do that."
Were they like, "Thank you"? I don't know what I was thinking.
No, they were like, "Fuck you." They were like, "This table's being a dick to me." It was like he was a young server, and I was like, "I'm not. No, you cannot do that." I was like, "That's the worst thing. That's evil."
Yeah.
Like, that is the worst, grossest shit you can possibly do. But that was the only time I ever saw it.
Yeah, I really didn't see stuff like that.
Thank God.
The grossest thing was, and I worked in a couple restaurants, and always the grossest area is the dishwashing area.
Right.
And it was, we used to, it's disgusting. So we called it the GU, because it was the general utility machine, which is what cleaned everything.
Sure.
And there would like be like every, you throw like dirt, soiled dishes and glasses there, and they would like collect in like this disgusting brown liquid that we would call GU juice.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, oh, I got GU juice splashed on me. Like, that was the grossest thing. Yeah, disgusting. But other than that, like the actual food portion, nothing is really gross.
All right, I'm glad to hear it. See, I was looking at their Wikipedia. At some point, Wanda Sykes was the voice of the Applebee's Apple. Do you remember that at all?
No.
I feel like I kind of remember that.
I don't remember that at all.
I just remember Aiden Shaw.
Yeah, Aiden, right? Who's, what's
He's
his real
Applebee's
name?
Personified. Right. John Corbett.
John Corbett from Sex and the City and My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
And not in Just Like That, despite the fact that he said he was going to be on
right.
it.
Right. He told us, oh, I'll be on it. And I was like, no, you're not.
He lied.
He tried to win it.
Yeah.
He tried to manifest it.
He is, but he really is the perfect He's the perfect voice of Applebee's. He is Applebee's. He's like, because he's such a guy. He's such
down homie.
He's just a. He's a little schlubby, but he's a little handsome. He cleans up well. He's a guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
He is a guy.
Thank you. Remember United States of Terror? Anybody?
Oh yeah, he was great on that.
Future episode maybe. He's Applebee's eating good in the neighborhood.
Wanda Sykes. I guess I can picture it.
Her is the Applebee's.
The apple.
She was the voice of that apple.
I didn't know the apple had a voice. I can't remember.
Unless this is just a really funny prank on Wikipedia. Someone was like, let's say Wanda Sykes is the voice of the apple.
I don't remember the apple being anthropomorphic.
Yeah, I don't remember that either.
They had a slogan in 2007 that supposedly she said, which was, together is good, or get it together, baby.
Actually, now that kind of rings a bell.
Yeah, there was a couple. Eating Good in the Neighborhood was their classic, but there was a couple different ones.
There's a video.
There's No Place Like the Neighborhood.
We have video.
From 2012 to 2016, Jason Sudeikis was the voiceover for it. This is like an SNL sketch. I'm watching it, but don't believe that it's real. It's just a real apple on a bench talking to a guy, and it's the sassy voice
of Wanda Sykes. That was a great commercial, actually.
I just scrounging around looking for ass. With an ass. One.
So it was not, it didn't have a face or anything.
It was just an apple
that shook. I know, I was imagining
a cartoon apple.
Yeah, me too.
It was just an apple. That was 2007. No, it's funny though, now that I think about it, I don't feel like I see that many Applebee's commercials anymore.
I also take that with a grain of salt, because how many commercials do you actually watch anymore?
That's true.
I don't feel like I've seen a commercial for anything in forever. I just don't watch commercials anymore.
But, I mean, it could be shown. They could force me to watch it in front of a YouTube video, and they never do.
Yeah, true.
I see commercials that way.
I have Peacock with ads. So maybe on there.
You do?
I do, yeah.
That's the only one I don't have. What do you get from that?
The Housewives shows.
Yeah, I'm good.
But, there's the Housewives that only are on Peacock.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, they pull that shit.
The All-Stars.
Oh, okay. So Applebee's started really in 1980.
I feel like that tracks. It's got an 80s vibe.
Yeah, it does. I feel like, I mean, unless other people copy them, I feel like they were the originator of bullshit on the walls. You know what I mean? Like, there's a little train set on the walls. There's a stop sign.
Here's a carousel horse.
Yeah, bullshit on the walls, I think, was their thing.
Bullshit on the walls is our aesthetic.
Which is like...
But now the newer designed ones, there's less bullshit on the walls. It's images on the walls, we used to call them they were called the artifacts.
The artifacts. Because
one of the side works was you had to dust the artifacts.
Oh, okay. I mean, they did bring local color. Like, I remember they had, pictures of, the football team from the high school across the way.
Some people used to come in and be like, that's me.
Can you imagine that's your sad life? Like, you're at the bar, you're like, you see that young guy over there?
That's me.
That was me, 2007. I love Applebee's.
This has been an ad for Applebee's.
This has been brought to you by Applebee's. No, it hasn't. It's just, you know what? You can like what you like. Don't let anybody fucking tell you that. Don't let some bougie prick come and tell you to not like Applebee's.
Not dip bread in Alfredo sauce. I know. And call it a meal.
You know, like, I like the term foodie, but for me, it's just being a fat guy. Like some people.
Well,
like,
if it tastes good.
Yeah. Some people are like, I'm a foodie, which means like I only go to the best things.
Right, I'm a snob.
Like, to me, I'm a foodie because I'm a fat man who loves eating food that tastes good. You know, like anything, like McDonald's has a new thing. Let me try it. Oh, Burger King has a new thing. Oh, they've got a bullshit. Oh, Starbucks has a fucking bullshit pink shake. I'm on it. Like, I want to try all the shit. I just, you know, me and Vin Forte on his podcast Oddballs, we talked about the Mexican pizza from Taco Bell, which, by the way, I love Taco Bell.
Taco Bell is so good.
Please. Taco Bell is incredible.
Doritos Locos Tacos, cultural reset.
I know. Incredible. And as a vegetarian.
I was going to say, what do you eat there?
You just swap anything for beans. Tacos with beans instead of meat. It's the easiest fast food for vegetarians.
Interesting.
So good. So good. And now I'm trying to eat less dairy, and even then it's easy. Because you could just, on the Taco Bell app, which is like a game, you like fucking earn points and shit, like, and get free shit.
That's fun.
Because I do it a lot. It's so easy because they just, anything you get, it's like sub this, sub that. You want extra that? You want less of that? You want to go easy on that? And it's just like, you could just, I live Moss. So I add.
You think outside the bun.
I add on the daily. Potatoes and rice to all my tacos. Potatoes and rice.
What kind of potatoes?
They're like breakfast potatoes.
Ooh, that's intriguing.
Potatoes and rice, I add them to all my tacos.
Taco Bell is having something of a renaissance.
You bet they are.
I've noticed. There are a lot of new Taco Bell locations popping up everywhere.
Look, life is miserable. So it's
so live Moss, baby.
Enjoy anything you want to enjoy. Don't let somebody fucking be like, oh, don't watch that thing or don't read that thing or don't go to Applebee's. Like, go fuck yourself. How about that?
Remember when Taco Bell's thing was a fourth meal?
Yeah.
How American is that?
I know.
Fourth meal, baby.
Well, what about, was it Wendy's that had, like, they were open to like 2 a.m. and like, they basically said weed without weed. Like, they were like, the commercials were all high
for
kids.
Your late night cravings.
Yeah, it would be like kids going through a drive through like giggling, and they'd be like, all right. They're going as far as they can without saying hi, people.
The Baconator. Has there ever been a greater symbol of the United States of America?
I remember one time I ordered a Baconator and they gave me like two pieces of bacon and I flipped the fuck out.
I berated them.
You would have thought that I saw someone murder my dog in front of me. I'd never been more betrayed by anything.
The grossest thing ever is the KFC Double Down. Do you remember that?
Oh, I liked it. It gave me a tummy ache, but I liked it. And it was impossible to hold.
No bread, sub fried chicken breasts.
That was the peak of this is a novelty.
Right.
Because it was because you couldn't even hold it. It was ridiculous. Right.
That was before bacon was ruined for everybody.
Well, because it got so overblown.
That contributed to that, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, bacon, I don't eat bacon anymore, but I still smell it. And I'm, of all the meats, I still smell bacon. I'm like, oh, I'd love to eat some bacon. But yeah, that was a time where it was like a bacon covered chocolate, bacon.
Yeah.
Here's cupcakes with bacon and.
Too much.
Fried shit. We've been going to Ararang's a lot lately. Feelings
I
on
love
that?
Ararang's, but it's so expensive.
It's a little expensive, yeah. But what about so that good. Fried ice cream? Fried green tea ice cream, am
it's
I right?
Really good.
Not even the fried ice cream, the spicy edamame.
I've never had the spicy edamame.
Well, they've got the best spicy edamame.
I've never had
it's
spicy edamame.
It's life-changing.
Anywhere?
Anywhere.
It's
what makes it? What do they put on it?
Like kind of like a peppery sauce. Yeah. It's very good. Ooh. You got to try that.
They have it at like one of the sushi places we order from.
Avocado.
Oh yeah, I don't know. If I could say it. Avocado sushi. But that is just like hot. Like that's just like spice. It's not like quite flavorful, but. The Ararang's one, oh, so good.
You guys want to go real quick?
I mean,
I wouldn't mind.
Problem is, if it's just me and Jen, we're gonna be we have to make friends with a family.
Hey,
hi. I always have the same line. I go, hi, we're nice people. I feel like it'll be awkward to not say anything. You just say hi, and then that's it. You know what I mean?
I've said anything.
Yeah, I feel like you could easily sit and not say.
Nah, anything. you gotta break bread a little bit.
They don't care.
Yeah,
you don't have
don't
to break bread.
There.
No, it makes them more comfortable to know that you're not a creep.
Nah, they don't want you there. They don't want you looking at them.
You're not a pleasant person. This has been PCMC. I'm Mike Mongiorno. I'm joined today by Anthony Mongiorno and Jennifer Grace Luttrell. Jen, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Anthony, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Everyone, go eat good in the neighborhood. We end our episode, PCMC, by saying...
Go.
Go bye-bye.
Go bye-bye.